It's interesting that a year ago that I preached on Memorial Day weekend. So I don't know if any of you remember that. If you don't worry about it. I'll do somewhat what I did last year, because we celebrate Veterans Day, we celebrate the 4th of July. Today's a little bit more somber. It's a reminder that not every soldier who went off to war came back alive. That point was really driven home many years ago when I lived in Northeast Detroit. Two doors down from me, a young man named James Feeney went off to Vietnam. He did not make it back. You know, sometimes we glamorize war, the uniform, and it looks so good, maybe we could. And the thing is, it's not all glamour. And for those of you who served, you know that. It's rough, especially if you had to fight. So, because it's Memorial Day, I want to thank all of you who served in the military, and I would like to recognize you. If anybody here served in the military, would you please stand so we can recognize you? Thank you for your service. And what's interesting is I was one day hoping to be like Chaplain Dan. You see, I tried to get into the military in the Army. You see, may have been for the wrong reason, but Army came around. You know, I was at the age, and they said, you know, they showed what they had, and said, well, my father was in the Navy. I had a couple of uncles who served in the military. And I thought, hey, well, maybe. Probably wasn't the right reason, because it was after a relationship ended. I thought for sure that someone I was dating for 10 and a half months, this was going to be the one, and it wasn't. And most of the reason was, as I went before the Lord, I said, well, wait a minute. You said for us to be as children, for such is the kingdom of God. And very clearly God said, well, there's a difference between being childlike and childish. And unfortunately a lot, and I'm not going to point fingers or anything, and I don't understand like the women part, but there's too many of us guys who are still man children. We won't grow up. We still play our games. We don't want to mature. That's really sad. Well, I decided to give it a shot. I did well on the scores. My raw score on the written stuff was 89. And I thought, cool. Then came the physical part. Well, not all that much different now than I was then. I was 5 foot nothing, I weighed 100 nothing. Everything was good until the last part. Now in that, and I don't know if they did it when all of you were in the military, but the exercise is you got to strip down to your underwear and squat in the room, and you had to with everybody else. And I'm looking at all these other guys that are in their underwear. And the exercise begins, and I says, I hope this is brief. It was funny back in Detroit. Well, I couldn't. If you've ever seen me walk, I have that feet of a duck. I'm bow-legged. And I have no arch on the bottom of my feet. So they TR'd me, which is temporarily restricted. And they said, for the next 90 days, do handball, tennis, racquetball, that'll strengthen your feet. Okay. 30 days later, I came down with a bleeding ulcer. Well, in 1981, it wasn't a very good day anyway. It was the day Pope John Paul was shot. So it was a rough day to begin with. Well, when they heard I had a bleeding ulcer, they said, well, I'm sorry. We can't use you. You got to go through boot camp, and there's no way you'd be able to make it with the way it is. So what happened? God said no. He said, no, this is not the direction I want you to go. The answer is no. Well, as a young man, you know, you search and, you know, you continue to seek God's will. The thing is, when you're young, I was trying to be obedient to what God called me to do. For those of you who know me, you know when I was a young man at 17, once I got saved, I felt God calling me to preach the gospel. And the one thing that I stand on, and I thank all of you for that, is this. Now, I don't know where it was bought. I don't care if you got it in a Cracker Jack box. I don't know if you sent away three Cheerios box tops and it came in the mail. This, I look at every day, because during Pastor Appreciation, you guys got this for me. And I look at it every day, and it is greatly appreciated. I also appreciate the prayers that you've sent up. For those of you who know, I've been at Fort Huachuca for a little over 7.5 years. And I was quality control the first couple years. Then I was demoted when somebody else came in. And for the next 5 years, I've been a worker. They cut my pay. They cut everything. Well, a week ago, I was doing the trash. I was in the office of the boss. And he said, Dante, have a seat. Like, uh-oh. That's never good. He said, how would you like your quality control job back? I said, hold on a minute. And I take my hearing aids. I said, would you repeat that? He repeated it. So in June, I'll be restored back to what I was hired to do. Thank you for your prayers. But how do we handle when God says no? How do we handle that? Tragically, not very well. Because we will push and prod and try to get God to see things our way. Even though he said no. This is not the way I want you to go. Well, in the Bible, for example, Esau, chapter in Hebrews 12, 16, and 17. Esau, as you know, was the younger was the older brother of Jacob. And for temporary pleasure, for a bowl of stew or whatever it was, I've had stew before. I hate it. Like, you gave your birthright up for this? At least if it was a chocolate cake or a taco dinner from La Casitas or something like that. Stew? For a temporary moment of pleasure, he turned his back on his birthright. Matter of fact, it says he hated it. For how many individuals, they know what we're supposed to do when we serve God. We know what the commandments are. And for pleasure, give it up. And then we have the audacity to be surprised. I see this in many younger folks. I put younger. I'm in the middle somewhere. 58 is in the middle. Okay? I am not young. I get up in the morning after working these 8, 9, 10-hour days. I'm not young. It's advanced middle age. You can use that if you want to, even. But see, the thing is, for temporary pleasure, and the people have gone in the world, I like this. And the problem is, that's not where God wanted us to be. Well, I really like this person. I don't care if they're not a Christian. Bible doesn't say not to marry non-Christians, does it? Yeah. 2 Corinthians 6:14, be not unequally yoked together with non-believers. Or this job. I really want that job. Been there, done that. Cindy can attest to that. There was a job when I was back in Michigan. I really wanted it. It looked so good. God didn't want me to have it. He said, but what he'll do is he'll let you have what you want so you can see that he knows better than we do. I didn't last a month. I got fired. God said no. God will sometimes do that. He will tell us no. Think of Saul. He got impatient. There's a tough word. Waiting for Samuel, and so I'll make the sacrifice. And he did it wrong. Two chapters later in 1 Samuel 15, he was told to smite the Amalekites, get rid of them. And Samuel said, Saul, why am I hearing animal sounds? Because he was a people pleaser. He cared too much about what people thought about him. And the Lord rejected him. He admitted he sinned. God said no. Let's get to King David. Remember he had the affair with Bathsheba? A son came from that relationship. And it was born sick. And for a week, David prayed, fasted, that the child might live. The child didn't live. God said no. A lot of times, no hurts. Why does God tell us no? Why does he tell us, don't we always get what we want? Isn't God a genie or a wandering Santa Claus who just gives us everything we want? I'll help you with that. No, he does not. Why? He's looking out for our best interests. He loves us. He wants the best for us. He wants to give us his best. But sometimes we think we know better than God. Sometimes we think, oh, God, I got this. We actually have, if you don't think God has a sense of humor, tell him your plan. You know? Tell him, well, God, this is what I want to do. Bless it. Doesn't he know better? We say, I trust God, he alone. I trust everything he says and does, and I'll follow him. And that we change. Like, oh, well, I don't like that way, God. I'm going to go my way. What's that song by Eric Burden and the Animals? It's my life and I'll do what I want. It's my mind, I'll think what I want. And we leave God out of it. And we're surprised. I want to get the main scripture I want to get to. Is Acts chapter 16. So if you have your Bibles, this is Paul being called to Macedonia, and there's some stuff going on. I'll start reading in Acts chapter 16, verse 6. It says, "Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. God said no." Verse 7. "After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. God said no." When Cindy and I were going through, when I was going through the school of ministry, I was working for the state of Arizona. Now, if you work for the state, you're getting good money. Cindy was a teacher's aide at the for the Mesa School District. We were doing well. But I knew God called me to preach the gospel, but I didn't know how to go about it. They told me, go through the ministerial training for the Nazarene Church. And I said, okay. And they said, we're looking for senior pastors. I said, well, shouldn't I be like an associate first so I can learn? Nope. Okay. So, at that point, if you know anything about Maricopa County, there was the openings were Chandler, Snobsdale, Scottsdale, and Bisbee. In all three, God said no, initially. We went to Chandler, applied. God said no. We went to Scottsdale. God said no. Bisbee originally said no. I said, what am I going to do? We have to keep our jobs so I can be bivocational. Bisbee then reconsidered and said, we'd like you to apply. I applied. Well, you know the history. I got it. And I thought, oh, how quaint. What a nice little town. Just like Aunt Bee and Andy and Barney. And you young folks have absolutely no idea what I'm talking about. But for the Andy Griffith Show in Mayberry, North Carolina, and a preacher said to me a few months later, hey, welcome to Satan's Playground. What? Satan's Playground. I knew there was going to be a challenge because I was told by the district, you have 32 people. I thought, wow, that's pretty good. We got there. We had 11. I said, gee, was it something I said? Hard area to grow. I'm not going to lie. And because it was frantic, because I was trying to get it to grow, and question God, did you really, is this where you wanted me, really? The pressure of the old regime was there, old ideas. As a result, I didn't handle it very well. What I didn't see was my wife was getting sick before my eyes and I missed it. Or maybe I didn't want to see it. Her diabetes was blowing out of control, and she would have to leave early because she wasn't well. And I was very unkind. Ministry can sometimes do that. For those of you who are considering ministry, or you know somebody in ministry, Michaela might be able to relate to this. Satan puts a bullseye on your back, and he's going to go after your family, and he'll go after your weak point. It was not fun. for 5 years. We tried so hard. We prayed. We fasted. And the district finally said to us, you know what? You need to resign. What? Wait a minute. God, you called me to, and we got to give it up? I looked at Cindy, and I said, honey, I'm sorry I dragged you down here. It was not a good time in our lives. That's what ministry can do. If you're not careful, if you're not on your knees, even if you are, well, there's a church about 26 miles northeast of Bisbee called Sierra Vista Church of the Nazarene. And after a couple weeks of not going to church, they said, why don't you come to our church? Just relax. You don't have to do anything if you don't want to. What did we do? We got right involved with ministry. And God showed me, see, I was under the impression, when you preach the gospel, when God calls you to preach the gospel, it's an honor. And it is. But that does not give you the right to use it as a weapon, and it does not give you the right to look down on others. God had to humble me by what he did at work and by you loving us unconditionally, kind of like how God does it, and letting us be us where we could grow and mature and be part of a body. And I'm grateful for that. And to show you grateful, actually, you stop and think about it, come, I believe, September, Cindy and I will have been here 10 years. And I want to thank you folks for loving us. See, God said no in our lives, in my life, in Cindy's life, for a reason, to draw us closer to him. And let's face it, some of us guys aren't the sharpest knives in the drawer. And all the ladies said, jeez, back, back! Change can irritate us sometimes. Change, we don't like change. We want things to stay the way they are. And I was reading something, and I did not know this. How many of you are familiar with a poem called The Horn? Okay, well, they changed the name of it. You know how it goes. Little boy blue, come blow your horn. The sheep's in the meadow, the cow's in the corn. Where's the boy who looks after under the haystack fast asleep? Well, why was it called The Horn? And I found out that's because that's what the little boy blew. That one bombed too. Okay. But sometimes change is necessary. Change is needed to grow in Jesus. Okay, it's not a comfortable ride all the time. It is being with a body of believers, like what you did for Cindy and I. I mentioned a little bit earlier that I was not the sharpest knife in the drawer. Well, when it came to relationships, I stunk. Remember I shared with you that a lot of times we say, well, this must be the one that God chose for me. And I was wrong because God said no. Well, it so happened that Cindy had come to our group, our singles group, and I didn't give her the time of day. I had spoken that week, but I thank you for coming. Most people come and leave. they don't come back. She came back. Well, see, my grandmother died. And we had the funeral that day, and I didn't want to feel sorry for myself. So she came back. She comes to the altar. And I didn't know what she was praying. They had me going around praying for everybody. And I found out later that she had had problems dating because, well, as you know, she had ovarian cancer. And she was only 24 when she had it, and she had to have a hysterectomy. She couldn't have kids. Can any of you imagine a bunch of little Dantes running around? That even makes me squeamish. Well, she told me her story, and I was, wow, that's something. Well, I felt a voice. Ask her out. No. Ask her out. No. I'm going to drink the lemonade, and I'm going to stay in my corner. And somebody put too much lemon in it. It was terrible. So it's like, ask her out. All right, all right. So I said to her, would you like to go to Denny's? So we started getting to know each other. And then we realized, hey, there's something special here. We went down to the altar. Let's make sure this is right. Neither one of us want to go through any more busted relationships. Let's seal this, if this is the thing from God. It must be. Because, see, May 16th, we celebrated 27 years of marriage. So, God knew, God was the best matchmaker. I decided to go with something different. Instead of having that red book, as you know that I have, I decided to just use note cards. Hebrews 10 verses 23 through 26, I'll just paraphrase it for you. It says, not to forsake the assembling together of the saints, as some of you have done. And there's so many Christians nowadays who think that they're lone rangers. They can be Christians without church. Look around. I'll bet you all of us can think of somebody. We look around, so-and-so doesn't come to church anymore. And you've heard me use this. Charcoal. You build a barbecue, you have a bunch of hot charcoal in the barbecue pit, and it's nice and hot. Take one out, set it by itself. What happens to that charcoal? It'll stay hot for a while, but then guess what? It gets cold. And the only way to get it hot again is throw it with other charcoal. We Christians are like that. We can stay hot away from the body of Christ for a while, but eventually we get cold. And then we get prideful because we have just enough knowledge of the Bible to be dangerous. One of the things I also thought I'd try was acting. About a month ago, there was a young man who came to the altar and said that he wanted to be an actor, a performer. I'm not sure exactly what. Let me tell you about that. Think about it. Minister, Hollywood. How far apart can you be? It's very tough to be a Christian and a performer. It's very tough because you're going to be asked to compromise your walk. You're going to be asked to do certain things. Between bad agents, bad directors, who want to know you in the biblical sense, if you know what I mean. And I found Christian acting. I didn't know that existed. It's different. It's more anointed, but you have to keep your ego in check. I even went to school for it. There's a college in Detroit, a liberal arts college, had actors. Came out. Gilda Radner, Lily Tomlin, to name but a few, Jeffrey Tambor. All of these people went to Wayne State. And that S. Apitha Martinson, she was in Law and Order. She was the woman who headed things. But God said no. Problem was I was so stubborn and stupid. I tried in 84, I tried it again in 89 with the exact same results. My dear friends, if you're in a nowhere situation, you're not going anywhere, you're not doing anything, and you're in a situation where you know better, and God's told you, that's not where I want you to go. But we keep trying to make it work. I believe it was Joyce Meyer said, listen, if the horse is dead, dismount. We would like to, again, Cindy and I thank you for the love that you've given us. Like I said, we've been here, it'll be 10 years in, I believe, September. And I'm not going to lie, in the time when I was demoted, in the time when I was wondering about our spiritual walk, you know, what do? I tried different states. Maybe I can pastor somewhere else. I tried Texas. That's big right there. I tried Oklahoma. Even tried our home state of Michigan, North Carolina, Tennessee, Pennsylvania, and there's more. I can't think of them right now. But God said no. Because he wanted us here. I don't know if it was Chaplain Dan. I'll give you credit if you said, or if it was Pastor Dave. You said that Bisbee was not the first plan, and Sierra Vista is the second plan. No. You said Sierra Vista was plan A. And I kind of struggled with that when you said that. I thought, how could it be plan A? Because I had to church. I thought that's where I'd spend it, and it didn't work. Because God had to put me on my knees to humble myself to bring me here. And that was plan A. For what we've done here, for the work, for the community, for the fellowship, this was plan A. What does God have planned for your life? Where do you belong in the body of Christ? There was a movie that came out many years ago with Paul Newman. I don't know if you remember Cool Hand Luke. Remember at the end of the movie, he comes to an abandoned church. He gets down on his knees and he looks up. He goes, well, old man, here I am, old man. I know I've always been a problem. You sure ain't helped me out very much, but I guess I ain't helped you out very much neither. I don't want any of us to wonder where we belong. You have to seek it. You're going to hear no. Okay? Nothing wrong with that. It says seek and you will find. It's not going to be yes every single time. But what God does is he draws us closer to him. He gives us a thirst for the word of God. He gives us a desire to love him and to love others. That's what he calls us to do. The main thing he we sometimes forget is that our purpose was for Him, to please Him. That's what we were called to do. Now, I don't know where this church is going to lead. I don't know. We know right now this is where we belong. You guys, you got us. You loved us to death. And boy, we sure appreciate it. It was a time we needed it. And I'm grateful for the opportunity to have come before you today. I'm grateful to Pastor Dave. As you know, he's traveling. He's in Tennessee. But I thank you very much for accepting us. I thank you for loving us, because we were ready to quit. But you loved us and accepted us and said, grow and do what you need to do. One thing I shudder is when, as a minister of the gospel, that we give sermons or messages and we go home, and either when we get home or Monday morning, what was that sermon about? Well, sometimes we give sermons that you wish you could forget. We're not on all the time. But I just hope that, especially the younger folks, that you're willing, when God says no, understand He has our best interest for us. He only wants our best. He gives His best, which He did at Calvary. He'll give it to us. He didn't just die, go to heaven, and say, okay, you guys are on your own. He did it because He loved us, because He wants to spend eternity with us. And how great it will be to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. I don't know where all you stand, if that spoke to you. Come on down to the altar and make things right. Make things right with God, if you need to, or you can do it right there. But I'm going to pray, and wow, I got out at 11 o'clock, cool. Make things right, and then I'm going to say a blessing. Pastor Dave has his. Mine's much, it's shorter. Doesn't mean it's better, it's just shorter. It's something I've lived, a blessing I've had all my life. I'm going to pray, and then I'll give you the blessing, and then I'll dismiss you. Thank you for coming and supporting me. Father God, we come before you right now. We thank you, Father, for the body of Christ. And we thank you for this body. And we thank you, Father, that you don't say yes to everything we want because you know what we need. Even when I had my bleeding ulcer and threw up 2 pints of blood on a bathroom rug and destroyed it, even in times when I walked away from you, even in times when I made it hard for you to love me, or I made it hard for Cindy to love me, you love unconditionally. You love us, period. It's not a dog and pony show where you have to earn points or earn merits. You love us no matter who we are or what we've done. And Father, help us to take that knowledge and spread it around. Help us to realize that outside the four walls of this church is the mission field. And strengthen our walk. Help us to walk closer to you each and every day. I thank you, Father, for who you are and what you've done. I thank you for being a part of a body of believers who want to know you and want to grow in you. And thank you for the last 10 years of getting to know what being in a body of Christ, a loving church, is like. Thank you, Father, for your blessing. Forgive us for the times when we miss it, when you've blessed us and we, for whatever reason, we just don't see it. We're eternally grateful that you reserved heaven for us. So when we die, it'll be a smooth transition. And we look forward to that day when you call us home. Until that day arrives, help us to be found faithful in all that we say and do. Let us bring glory to your name. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I told you I have a blessing. If you want to stand for it, go ahead. You'll find it in the third epistle of John. It's just two verses. And it's something I've always used as my personal blessing. So, 3 John, it's just verses 1 and 2. Well, actually, just verse 2. Receive this blessing. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. And all God's people said,
amen.
Enjoy the day.